The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, according to a survey conducted by second-hand car sales app Sweep, the cost of buying a used car has risen in 7% in the last year. And there are a number of reasons for it, which will be explained by motoring correspondent with the Sunday Independent, Geraldine Herbert. Geraldine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, there are a number of reasons why this kind of counterintuitive trend might be so.
Yeah, it's essentially a supply and demand issue, Pat. So you have a constraint on new cars at the moment, supply of new cars. So if you're in a second-hand car at the moment, ready to trade up to your new car hasn't arrived. Obviously, these are cars that are not coming into the market. And then on top of that, Brexit and the fact that rental cars, there was no real market for rental cars. All of these are constraining the supply of second-hand cars. So just demand is far outstripping supply at the moment.
Okay, so lack of tourism means lack of car rentals, and the companies are canny enough. So they got rid of their existing inventory, downsized, and didn't buy, 2020 cars in any great numbers or even early 2021 cars because they weren't expecting any tourists. So that's a huge gap in the market of availability. But what about the brand new cars? Why can't they be manufactured? Where is the shortage coming from?
Okay, there's a global chip shortage at the moment. Now, Pat, these small microchips are used in everything from your toaster to your washing machine to your cars. Now, car manufacturers tend not to store these, so they use them in a sort of just-in-time system, so they order them as they need them. Now, they closed factories, obviously, for a couple of weeks last March and during the lockdown. They cancelled the order for chips. In the meantime, schools closed. There was a demand for more and more consumer electronics as homeschooling took off and people were working from home. So basically, chip manufacturers started to move these chips towards the consumer, the more lucrative consumer electronics market. And as a result, car makers were scrambling to catch up. Now, there's been a number of events that have further compounded that issue. You'll remember the container ship that blocked the Suez Canal recently. That obviously delayed chips that were coming from Asia into Europe. There was a drought in Taiwan. Taiwan will be one of the biggest manufacturers of these microchips. And again, there was a disruption to factories in Texas because there was bad weather. So all of these have just compounded the issue, and this shortage is likely to continue till 2022. Now, the first quarter of 2022 is what the predictions are. So it's going to have a huge impact on sales at the beginning of next year, Pat, which, as you know, is the most important market for car dealers.
So people are hanging on to their cars simply because even if they wanted to change, they can't get the model they want at this particular time of year because of all of that. Now, many people have bought second-hand cars and you decide this is a gorgeous car. You sit into it and you drive it away. And then you realise that the biggest numbers on the dial are in miles per hour and the smaller numbers on the speedo dial are in kilometres per hour, whereas cars originally destined for the Irish market will have the reverse. In other words, your car is an import.
Yes, not likely at the moment, though, because imports are falling quite drastically as well. To put it in perspective, Pat, if you think about it, we've had about 35,000 cars have been imported up to the end of June of this year. Now, if you go back to the last sort of normal year, so that would have been, say, 2019, at the same time, 69,000 or 62,000 would have been imported. Similarly, in 2018, 59,000. So huge shortfall there in imports. Now, it's probably down to two things. First of all, Brexit is making imports less attractive. You now have to put 23% VAT on them, plus 10% customs in most cases. But also just the travel hasn't been an option. So there were always punters who went to England or went to the north and got cars themselves. That hasn't been a possibility. So imports have fallen drastically. Just one point though on the imports, Pat, still 55% of them coming in are diesel. Now this is quite in stark contrast to the share of new car sales, which is only 36% diesel. And also what we're seeing this year is far more older cars being imported. Again, obviously, because if the value is lower, then that 23% isn't quite as big a chunk to pay as if it's more expensive. With 65% are 4 or more years old. So that's nearly double what we would have seen before.
The complexity now of bringing a car in from the UK, because they're outside the EU, versus bringing in a car from Northern Ireland? Is there a difference?
Yeah, Northern Ireland is as it was pre-Brexit, so there's no difference. You're just importing a car and you're paying the VRT when you bring it down here. But the problem in the UK, as I said, is the VRT still remains. Nothing has changed there. But what has changed is you're now paying 23% VAT, which is a huge amount. And in most cases, a 10% customs duty as well. So it's, as I said, it's making more expensive, younger cars much less attractive.
I'm just wondering, someone you know, is working in on the island of Britain, and then they relocate to Northern Ireland with their car, which, you know, within the United Kingdom and so on, and then they want to change it, and some poor sucker from the Republic goes up and buys that car, which originated in the UK. What then?
Yeah, I think you have to be careful that the car was actually for a certain amount of time in the UK, in the Northern Ireland, and then it's considered as a Northern Ireland car for revenue. I know this is something Revenue are looking at the moment. They don't have a facility to actually, there's a loophole in the market at the moment with that, but it's not something they're going to leave there, because I know people were thinking that that would be the ideal, just use the UK or the, use the North as a channel into the Republic, but it's certainly not something Revenue will allow happen.
Now, the next thing is buying a second-hand car. I mean, you can go on the Car Zone or Done Deal websites and go to buy a car. What are the red flags?
Yeah, Pat, I mean, I would really, really advise anyone, if they're buying a second-hand car, to buy from a dealership. You're always going to pay that bit extra, but you literally have no consumer protection if you buy privately. It really is buyer beware. And the biggest problem is the law is very much on the side of the seller, in the sense that a seller has to knowingly sell you a dud for you really to have a claim. So if they haven't given you the information that you need, or if you haven't asked the right questions, you really don't have a leg to stand on. But if you go to a dealership, you're covered by consumer law, and there's three key things you're covered with. First of all, it has to be of merchantable quality. That means it has to be reasonably, you know, a reasonable quality given its age. It has to be fit for purpose, which means it has to be roadworthy, and it has to be as described. So if you were sold something with low mileage, it has to have low mileage. So you do have some comeback. You can take, particularly if it's a SIMI, a Society of the Irish Motor Industry dealer, you can go through their complaints process. And as I said, you're covered by consumer law. Buying privately, it's really buyer beware.
All right. And when you're buying it, I suppose, with a dealer, you've got some consolation that they will have checked the provenance of the vehicle themselves in terms of outstanding finance and all that, which might not be the case when you're buying privately.
Yeah, but one way or another, Pat, I would always say buying from a dealer or buying privately, do your own history check. It'll probably cost you 30, 35 euros with the likes of MotorCheck or Cartel.ie. But as you pointed out, it will tell you about outstanding finance. It'll also tell you if the car was a write-off, if the car has been cloned, all of those things. So regardless of who you're buying the car from, I would do my own history check, definitely.
What does Ger think of PCP? Can you get it on a second-hand car?
It was being offered on some second-hand cars. It's not universally offered on second-hand cars, so it would depend on where you're buying. It's predominantly new cars that PCP is offered on.
Another thing, could you buy a decent electric car second-hand at the moment?
There's a shortage of second-hand electric cars at the moment, again, because the sales of them are not huge. The new car sales, they're very much in demand at the moment. Also, in terms of imports, they're proving they're just not they're not worth importing at the moment. So, as I said, there's a shortage of them. So you can get them, but they're just not in plentiful supply by any means.
Interesting comment from one of our listeners. We're in the truck business and lead times are now reaching January 23 for new stock.
OK, that's really bad.
That is really bad. All right, Geraldine Herbert, thank you very much for joining us on the topic of used cars. Prices rising because of shortages, basically.